Lord, we thank you for your word and just edify us, Lord, in your word. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful presence here this morning. We believe, Lord, you speak to every person today in Jesus' name. Amen. So God cares about you as a person. He loves you beyond what you could imagine. The Bible says his thoughts towards us are innumerable. He's thinking about you all the time. Hallelujah. All the time. And his thoughts are so great that you can't. I was reading an online newspaper last night about the brain, and they're doing research on the neurologists on the brain, and they're saying that there's, you know, we talk about two dimensions, three dimensions, that there's stuff in the brain that's up to 11 dimensions, 11 dimensions, and the complexity, and it's like they're discovering a universe in the brain. Amazing, you know? So if God created you with that brain, imagine what his thoughts are like. And he says, I know the thoughts of men, but they're futile. He says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Incredible. So when it says that his thoughts towards us are innumerable, you're talking how many dimensions? He's thinking about you, amen? He loves you. Praise God. People say, oh, why did God do this to me? Don't you know that there's a devil in the world who hates you? And there's a God who loves you so much that he died on the cross, and his name is Jesus. Praise God. So he's concerned about your soul. Jesus Christ died for souls. So we're going to continue. So what does your soul glory in? What do you, you know, what is your thing in life? We read in Jeremiah 9:23, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man, I was staying in Oxford, you know, Oxford University and all the wise people, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man, maybe bodybuilders, you know, there's a lot of gyms around these days, you know. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. I studied cross-cultural missions and, you know, understanding people's culture and so on, and traveling from country to country to country. I think there's a common culture, the love of money. Everyone wants to have. You know, it's the big thing in our society. Wherever you go in the world, it's about what you've got. And it's in the church as well. You know, I used to be a pastor. Other pastors would be interested, well, what type of car do you drive? How much money is in the church bank account? And how many people are on the seats? You know, these are what was important to them, you know. And the church is glorifying in stuff, just like the world does. The Lord says, you know, your soul, don't glory in these things. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. That he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. So that's what our soul should be delighting in. That we know him. That we understand him. How can we understand God? Here. He tells you about himself. Who is he? That he exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. You know, you might see evil and you think, where's justice? But we have a God of judgment, a God of righteousness. And one day there will be righteous judgment. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, you know, if your soul is glorying, if your soul is exulting, if your soul is excited about things other than the Lord Jesus Christ, be careful, because that can become your idol. That can become the thing that you worship. And, you know, one of the checks I make is, what do I talk about? Because what you talk about may well be your idol, the thing that you worship. You know? Ever thought about that? The thing that your heart exalts in is going to overflow in your mouth. Praise God. I was sitting with a pastor and the leadership, and we're having a dinner or something by the sea, sort of a walk type thing. And the pastor was saying, we've got a problem, and our church is like spiritually dead. Okay. And so I just sat there and listened to them. And all they wanted to talk about was the football. That's all they wanted to talk about. And I thought, I've come all the way here and all they want to talk about is football. And I thought, no wonder their church is dead. Because the thing that they really love is football. So when they come to church, their worship is not, it's not alive. It's a choice of the heart to glory in Jesus Christ. It's a choice of the heart. Praise God. So we're talking about how God loves you and how he wants your heart, your soul, to be well and to be whole. When you focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, his peace, his love, his joy will fill your heart. When you focus on other things, when it's the love of your heart, it'll affect you in a negative way. So we read in Hebrews 4, verse 2, that the gospel says the gospel was preached to them, to us as well as to them, talking about people in the Old Testament, but the word which they heard did not profit them. So the word came to them, came to their soul, but was of no benefit. Why? Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. All right, so we're going to go a little bit deeper about the soul, okay? So without faith, your soul, it's impossible for your soul to prosper in Christ. If you harbor doubt, fear, anxiety, let me explain. Doubt, fear, and anxiety can be natural in being in the world. The doctor says you've got cancer. The doctor says you're going to lose your eyesight. Well, it's a natural thing of the heart. But where you allow that to dominate and control, it becomes what you believe in. You with me? But faith in Christ liberates the soul into the riches and glory of heaven. So, for we who have believed do enter that rest. Now, last night I was saying, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We who have believed do enter that rest. How does your soul enter into rest, into heavenly peace, where, it comes by absolute trust? Yielding to Christ, believing. And so Hebrews says that we strive to enter into that rest. Well, that'll make you hit. That you're actually being diligent in your faith to enter that rest. Because the world is like you're in a war to cause you to doubt. And you have to strive in your faith to rest. So you're memorizing scripture perhaps, you're battling with the word of God, you're confessing the scriptures, you're working your faith until you know it's done and you're resting. Like praying for people, It's a battle. It's a battle because you are believing what God is showing you. You're believing the word of God that's coming to you, and you're not believing what you're seeing. It's you're striving to enter into that place of rest. Yes, Lord, thank you, it's all done. Lord, I just choose to believe. No matter what's going on, I trust you. And that's how your heart comes into rest, and where you totally depend on what God is saying, and you're not. Your faith is not resting on anything in the world, but on the Word of God and Christ. And so Like a woman who years ago she said she had breast cancer, but she entered into that place of rest and she was just so happy. She so entered that place of rest that she was filled with joy, and her children thought she'd gone Barney. She'd gone mad because she was so happy. And the Lord completely healed her. She'd entered that rest before the healing happened. She entered it by faith. You know, that with some of these diseases, the enemy wants to completely destroy your soul with fear and anxiety. It's a battle to come to the place of rest. Praise God. Shall we go on deeper? Yes. But we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. It's talking about those in the wilderness who refused to trust God and who complained about not having food and not having water and whinged, and you know, that was their statement of unbelief coming out of their mouth. Why did God bring us out here to die when we had melons in where they come from? Egypt, you know. Forgetting that they were slaves, but you know, having a big wind, it's always better on the other side, you know. So I swore in my wrath, they will not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, there remains therefore a rest. So this is, when you read the scriptures, listen to the promises. The promises are your life. Believe them, no matter what's going on. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. Turn to the person beside you and say, despite what you're experiencing, there is a rest for you. But he who has entered his rest has also ceased from his works, as God did from his. See, unbelief and anxiety produces work. What am I going to do about this? Work about, you know. I don't know when it was, 2006, I think it was, 2005. We had a small church building in Sydney. I was pastoring for 12 years. And the Lord said, get ready for the harvest. And it was just, get ready for the harvest. And this little church had been there for about 50 years. And all the pastors previously had tried to do something, and nothing had worked. Every time they wanted to build or do something, it was always a failure. And I'd basically given up. And then, get ready for the harvest. I said, well, Lord, harvest means bigger barn. We need a bigger barn, Lord. So we stuck the for sale sign out the front. So all we needed was $500,000. That's all we needed. And all we had was 20 grand. That was 50 years of saving, which is £10,000. So, you know, your heart, it wants to worry. So I got up in front of the people and said, there'll be no fundraising. We're not doing any fundraising. All right, so we're going to cease from our works. Amen?
Yeah.
No fundraising, but we're going to pray. So we kneel on the carpet in this little church. We pray, join hands and pray. And God supplied. I don't know how. But and then I think, well, we don't want to bounce any checks, Lord, you know. That's not a good idea. So we have a cash flow budget, which is like every week or every month, because we've got all these bills, you know. I remember one day looking at it, and a cloud comes over, and I can't see the figures. I can't see the budget. It's like, Mark, I've got it under control. Amen. So, big factory unit, you know, seats 250 people, and it's like this ceiling, you know. And it's very cold in Sydney in the winter and very hot in the summer. So we need aircon that heats and cools. So you're looking at $100,000, something like that. So I took it to the Lord. And the pastor calls me up and says, "Mark, I think I've got aircon for your church." I said, "Okay." He said, "There's a guy who used to be a homeless man." Okay. And the Lord will use whoever he wants. He was a homeless man, living for years on the street, and he came to Christ. He's now working in aircon. I said, "Okay." He said, "He's just pulled out an aircon out of an office building, and it's sitting in his garage." So I went over to this guy, and he was a bit different. You know, he was pumping. When you come up to the house, his little apartment, you could hear the praise music blasting out of the house. You know, he was like full on for God, you know. And he said, "Oh yeah, here it is, this big aircon system." And he said, "I'll put it in for you for free, you know." And I go, "Okay." And then I looked at the thing on the, you know, the model that says Mitsubishi something or other. So I called them up, Mitsubishi. Said, "Well, this is what our need is, and this is what we got." "Oh no, that's not sufficient," they said. So I went back to the Lord and said, "Lord, this," and I physically felt a breeze of cold air go across my face. I said, "All right, Lord, it'll work. Mitsubishi got it wrong." So we put it in, and it works. Praise God. So all up, I think cost $5,000 for the electrical and all that, and a bit of steel and this and that, you know. And why worry when you can have faith? Yeah. Why worry when you can just rest? Your work is striving to enter that rest. That's the work of faith.
Come on.
You've got to work the word. Work the word day and night if you need to, depending on your circumstance. To choose to believe that the word is true and that God is faithful to his word is unfailing. Praise God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So now I'm standing in the church building and I'm hearing bang, bang, I'm hearing hammers, I'm hearing these hammers, and I'm seeing a whole new mezzanine going up. I go, "Oh God, that is a great idea for Sunday school," you know, and 6 months later it was all there. Praise God. And somehow the Lord supplied, I don't know, you know. Just trust him. The battle is in your heart. That's the battle. To believe that God exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. That's the work of the heart, to believe. But the people said to him, "What is the work that God wants us to do?" And Jesus said, "To believe." It is work. It is work to believe. And that's why we have testimonies, because someone was working their faith. Amen? So, we walk by faith. The soul must move in faith, must walk by faith, and not by sight. Your faith is not to rest on the wisdom of men. The church for years now in the West has been preaching positive thinking and inspiration, and the faith of people has come to rest on human wisdom. And that's why the Holy Spirit is not moving in power in the Western church, because it's carnal faith. It's based on carnal thinking. And some people won't like this, but positive thinking draws a curse from God. "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm." When you believe in yourself that you can do it, you have the strength to do it, you have the resources to do it, it's pride of self-reliance. The flesh, crucify pride and self-reliance, and absolutely trust the word of God. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Positive thinking is bad doctrine. There you go, sir. Praise God. So, we journey by faith. We journey by faith in life. Heaven is our goal. Eternal life. Heaven, that's where we're going. We're just pilgrims. And our soul needs to go through this life by faith. I learned that as a little child. I don't know how old I was. I could have even been before I was born again. Interesting. But anyway, I had this vision two or three times as a little child. I don't know how old, I might have been 8 years old or something. And the vision was always the same. I mean, I'm only a kid, but I'm having this vision, and I knew exactly what it meant. I'm walking throughout my life, and I'm just journeying through my life, and I'm walking with Jesus. And we're going through all these different things in life, and they're pretty tough, some of them. And at the end of my life, we're standing above the earth, and we're looking out into the universe, and we're waiting for a golden city to arrive. And that's home. I knew it. That this life is all about being with Jesus and traveling with him until you get home. Yeah. And it's a golden city.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So turn to the person beside you and say, where is your home? Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And of course, through Abraham's seed, Jesus Christ came, and all the earth is blessed. So Abram, he leaves his family home, takes his possessions, takes everyone, and it says in the book of Hebrews, he went not knowing where he was going. And that is the life of rest. You're traveling life, you don't know where you're going. Some people, they want a prophecy about their future because of their unbelief. They want to know where they're going, but it's a carnal thing. I'm not saying everyone, but some people. You know, the word of God is so spiritual, so exalted, it's Christ, that the word will guide your life and will be acting on your behalf without you knowing what's going on. Because you're putting your faith in the word of God, the promises of God, the word is working without you knowing where you're going. So our life is a journey of faith. Praise God. I don't know where I'm going, but it's somewhere good.
Yes. Amen.
Praise God. So let's look at Matthew 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, this is a message that had never been heard in Israel. You know, I mean, that heaven is here. That was unheard of. That required faith to go about preaching that. I believe the mission of the 12 is symbolic of our lives. If you look at what Jesus commanded, you know, it's a life of faith. So go preaching. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. This is how you do it. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts. So he sent them out, telling them not to take anything. Nor bag for your journey. Don't take two shirts, nor sandals, nor staff. A worker is worthy of his food. So that's life. It's Jesus was teaching them, I don't want you to take anything because I want you to trust me that I will provide. And as you go, people are going to look after you. Amen? That's our life. You know, when God sends, he provides. Absolutely. Absolutely. God tells you to do something, absolutely He will provide. Praise God. So the early Christians, they lived this life of, because they had such persecution from the Romans that they were prepared to lose all their possessions, be imprisoned and die. And they lived their life focused on Christ. Heaven was home. That's where I'm going. So Paul writes in Hebrews 10:34, "For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods." Can you imagine? Someone said, "Oh, you're a Christian," goes through your front door with a sledgehammer and smashes everything in the house, and you're like, "Thank you, Jesus, I get to suffer for you." That's how the early church was. Incredible. "Knowing, joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven." Praise God. Your true furniture is in your mansion in heaven. Praise God. That's where your enduring possessions are. "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence." Now, in the Bible, the word confidence is another word, faith, almost always. "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward." When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, there's great reward. "For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise." What is the will of God? That you have confidence and that you endure in your confidence, working your faith into that place of rest. "Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." So God has a soul and has no pleasure in those who refuse to walk by faith. God's not pleased with religious activity, He's pleased with the walk of faith. If you come to faith, if you come to church in faith, He's pleased. If you're giving your tithe in faith, He's pleased. If you're reading your Bible, believing that God will speak to you, He's pleased. But if you're doing all these good things without faith, He's not pleased. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul.